Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. And it is now or never. I'll try to pick up a feedback Friday to kind of help everybody understand why I always say it's now or never. If you don't know, but you know, we talk about sponsors and all of that, and you know who's responsible for this. Well, we have a little bit of heavenly entertainment this weekend, and this heavenly entertainment is brought to you by our Creator, the Divine Hand of Providence, because the Lenoid meteor shower will peak this weekend. If you happen to live in an area where you have visibility at night, where you don't have the chemtrail fog, or you don't have, you know, clouds or chemtrail clouds, it seems like our access to the heavens at night to be able to see some of these things is being denied. And it seems like, it's not that people don't care, seems like nobody wants to actually go down the path. I think we finally have maybe a crack in, you know, some motivation with some people in Montana that actually want to go down the path of getting the government to stop, getting the state government to stop the chemtrails that are being sprayed overhead. We have a good patriot. I forget her name. Kathleen or Catherine. It eludes me, but I know it starts with a K. it just amazes me. I can remember so much, but when it comes to the names, folks, it is just such a shortfall for me, and I apologize for that shortcoming. But there are finally people that are being affected, and you know, what better way to really ram the environmental agenda down the progressive throats by basically creating a petition demanding a complete stop of aerosol sprays in our troposphere, and actually having your state legislature demand that the federal government disclose what is happening, what they're doing, and why. Who's paying for it? We want full disclosure with what's going over our heads. And as a matter of fact, I think this is what happens when you create tyranny and you actually, you know, empower states. I honestly see the governor should actually call up and pull in their National Guard, National Air, and dispatch, you know, aircraft interceptors to actually go and intercept those aircraft over there, you know, that are flying in the airspace that is spraying and affecting them. And let's look at it this way, folks. If you get a few states to actually stop the aerosol spraying, that doesn't mean that they're not going to be affected, because the other states that where the aerosol spraying is happening, you know, that air drifts and it'll drift right, it'll continue to drift over your state. And as a matter of fact, if you go to the NASA TARFOX, TARFOX website, you'll actually see the details on, you know, what they were doing and the tests and so forth, because they were trying to find out, they were actually doing tests on how they could effectively do aerosol spraying in our atmosphere. Yes. The U.S. government, along with the University of Washington, and there were probably other tests and so forth. But the bottom line is, this happened in the 90s. But anyway, I've got a lot of stuff to go through. First off, let me kind of explain. Last Friday, I had a very special message. It has everything to do with patriotism. It has everything to do with you as a citizen. But I was placing context because last Friday happened to be the Marine Corps birthday, and it happened to fall on Feedback Friday. You know me, I do not spend a lot of time on, you know, those types of things in my personal life or, you know. Anyway, what I wanted to do was I wanted to help everybody kind of understand, you know, my feelings and why I am so adamant about, you know, and I get, maybe I act like a Karen. I haven't, I don't think publicly, but maybe it's perceived that way behind the mic. When people say, hey, thank you for your service. Yeah, really, it just, it infuriates me. Don't thank me for my service. I did that because I was a citizen and I felt it was my obligation and duty to do. Now, technically, one of the real driving forces behind my joining had really nothing to do with that. I was just doing a friend a favor in a way. But in another way, there were lots of reasons, though. It wasn't just that. There were a lot of reasons why I went into the Marine Corps. And suffice it to say that we all have an obligation. And that message, I think, was so important that we're not going to, you know, I'm not going to air it this today, obviously. I will air it next Friday, which is Black Friday or the Friday after Thanksgiving. And it's really sad that the day after Thanksgiving has a business name to it. You know, that we've actually created business labels to very specifics or very specific days, you know, like Black Friday and Cyber Monday. And everybody understands what that means. This all goes down to why you want to listen to my special Christmas. Or those of you who've listened to it before, every year, I never play the same recording. I always, you know, restate it in a different way. And hopefully each time you hear it, maybe it drives home a new nuance or a new perception or perspective that you can go, oh, wow, you know, we are being manipulated. Why, they've been manipulating us for a long time. And to be honest, the Christmas manipulation was not done by the U.S. government. And so, when you really look, I don't have any evidence that the Illuminati and those people were behind it. I don't. But if you look at how it all played out, there had to be some involvement with people that really did know that didn't necessarily include that. Or it just goes to show how Satan knew what needed to be done to inspire people to do things that seemed like they were good for good intent or good purposes. And look today how they're being used for evil purposes. And as a matter of fact, I just made a comment in a meeting this past week regarding healthcare. Look at how, you know, in the 1800s, the federal government just tried to do a good thing by protecting the lives of children, creating the Children's Bureau and so forth. And it was really, you know, a good thing that they were doing that unconstitutionally. And it should not have been allowed to happen. But when we look at how these do-gooders go down this path and they violate the Constitution, look at how it has become a weapon killing us today. They're using that as a weapon to kill us today. So next week, we're going, because last Friday, I basically had intermittent internet, and right before the show launched, I had no ability to connect to the server to broadcast the show, because I do broadcast. You know, these shows may be pre-recorded, and you're more than welcome to give a phone call. I haven't said this in a long time. You can always call my phone line, and it's out there. I don't have it memorized. But if you go to Reclaiming the Republic contact page, we have a phone number you can call 24/7. I think it's a DC number now. And just call that number, leave a message. And if you have feedback or you want to tell me something, there you go. Just give me a call. And don't be surprised if I call you back, because 9 times out of 10, your comments really do invoke me to call you back to see, you know, can I help you some more? What else I can do? Those who know me will tell you that, oh, yeah, he will try to help as much as he can. And as a matter of fact, there's some people that I have a long list of people I need to go back to and connect with. And a good friend in Georgia, as a matter of fact, I need to call. Anyway, I will call her soon. So Let's move on, because next week we only have two shows of content. Then I do on Wednesday, I will do the National Thanksgiving broadcast. And then that'll be the same show that we will do for Thursday. And again, last Friday's show will be aired on Friday. So you can hear the importance of why you should stop telling veterans, thank you for your service. Stop it. You know, how about manning up? How about citizening up? How about patrioting up? Cowboy up? Whatever you want to say it. However you want to say it, I mean. Anyway, let me kind of start off, because I have some need-to-know new stuff that I want to go through, but there's a lot of other little things that I just have to rant and vent on. Now, I did get some feedback on a couple of this week's shows. And as a matter of fact, the last couple shows were really well received. Folks, you may want to highlight those. You may want to highlight those so that people can really dive into, you know, a macro view of what was really happening and what Thomas Jefferson and James Madison were really doing. I'll have to think about it. I want to think about the magnitude and importance of what they were doing. We have very specific gems. We have very specific bright moments in our history where the framers, while they were in service, did things that, you know, to me, these things are true examples. They're precedents in why we have to do what we need to do. We have to stop this unconstitutional government, and we have to restore our self-government. And the epitome of self-government begins with our counties, because that is the only government that we, the people, truly institute. And the problem is, you probably have never instituted your county government. And it's not a matter of, you know, authorizing it, because it's not that it wasn't authorized or wasn't set up. It just was so poorly done. We need to fix that in the good old American Republican form of government style. So what I mean is, we need to actually get smart, and we need to have some counties, all the counties need to create their own constitutions and so forth, and then fix their state constitutions. We'll get into that, but my article that I'm writing, Why Counties Matter Most, is being, I don't want to say it's being delayed, but it's being fortified. One of the things I didn't really expound on, and it kind of woke me up because it was bothering me while I was sleeping. And I go, you know what? I've got to add this. And so what I did was, I've added a contrast comparison kind of thing with the Enabling Acts, so that you understand what the heck happened when states were being erected from the very first state to join the Union to the last state. Well, I don't go through the whole progression, but I point out that with Indiana, the federal government already showed that they were willing to deviate and exercise roles, responsibilities, powers that they did not possess constitutionally in setting up Indiana. And it's, if you really look at it, it's that moment is almost just like the Alien and Sedition Acts moments. There are these little points in time where you see this derailing, or a variance away from the structure and the spirit of the Constitution. So as we start looking, and as you get this article, as you read this article, I hope this helps fortify, I hope this helps strengthen your understanding of why we need to take back counties. Because if we take back counties, if you get enough counties in your state to take, you know, back their power, then you can actually start driving changes to your elections, your education, your energy, all of these things that your state government is doing to you, you know, actually the federal government is doing to you by courtesy of your state legislators or your state bureaucracies. And so the way to do that, we talk about this, and it'll be in more detail in the First Amendment petition article that will be following this, because I'm just giving you historical context of why it's so important to restore your county. The full and final detail of why, you know, why we need to do what we're doing is an article that is all wrapped around the First Amendment petition, because we need to demand compliance. We need to start establishing and petitioning government with a comprehensive, I'll just say swath, a comprehensive swath of petitions in going after your county government, because we need to overwhelm them with the magnitude of violations that we are suffering, that they are suffering from too. Now, one of the interesting things in a conversation I had this week is a person in Wyoming actually was, you know, coming forward and saying, I have, you know, my county commissioners are my friends. I really feel uncomfortable going down this path. And I go, then you shouldn't even be feeling uncomfortable. I kind of came back around. I go, have you seen my videos with my county commissioners, or actually with some Washington State county commissioners? And the person said, well, no. And I go, you need to watch that, because these people are friendly to me. They're more than willing. They're constitutionalists. They just don't know. Actually, I'll say that they're conservatives. One of them is a constitutionalist, but they're conservatives, but they want to be, and they consider themselves constitutional. They just don't understand what that means and why there's a big difference between a conservative and a constitutionalist. And so these meetings that I've had, or these presentations that I'm doing for them, is to kind of hold their hand and help them actually understand, you know, where we came from, how we got here, and what we need to do as a county to restore our state government. And so when we look at how important it is in a self-governing system, your county, and understanding all of this, the structure of our republic, this is not that complicated. And I know I don't write necessarily to a sixth grader level, but I don't think that I'm writing in such a language like the framers, where you read those words. I mean, just this week, I forget the word, but it was another word for criminal behavior. And I go, wow, what a powerful word, and how that word says so much. Anyway, it's like inculcate. You know, inculcate is a very powerful word, because it talks about the process of indoctrination and how you brainwash people. Because it's a fancy word, but it says so much more than just, you know, brainwashing or indoctrination, because it would be seen as insidious if somebody came to you and said, all you're doing is indoctrinating your children, because that actually has a negative connotation. Inculcate is an academic way of actually stating that you're educating and indoctrinating and teaching somebody processes, thoughts, paradigms, and so forth. And so it's a more powerful word in using that, and it doesn't necessarily point a finger of judgment. It just accurately states what the heck's going on. So anyway, somewhere in the distance, I think I hear a phone, but that's just going to have to wait. I don't know who's calling, but anyway, hopefully they listen to the show. The last thing I want to do is I want to point out how there's been this decline. And as a matter of fact, on G. Edward Griffin's Need to Know News, and we might get into some of the Need to Know News coming up, but G. Edward Griffin's Need to Know News kind of highlights how there's this, I'll just say, this admission. People are admitting that there is a significant decline in local news. In other words, the need for reporting local news and people going out and capturing local news. See, I'm telling you that the local news platforms are the social media platforms. But the people that created the social media platforms believe that now that you've come on board, they can basically conscript you and control you and keep you from reporting your local news. And this is why your states need to pass laws that actually go after, punish, and excoriate, scorched earth towards any of these social media thought controllers, or what do they call them, community fact checkers or whatever. If they shut you down, if they take down a post that is relevant, then you should be able to report to your state. You know, your rights were violated, and they should actually be able to do a full investigation, go after. But we need to be acting better. In other words, we need to actually start documenting what we're posting so that if they do take it down, they do delete it, you can actually provide, this is what I posted, and boom, this is, you know, they took it down. And now we can go after I'll just call these institutions, these platforms, for censoring and actually for suppressing your right of the freedom of speech and the freedom of the press. Remember, we the people are the press. These platforms are not the press. They don't have control. They can't control the information. They are controlling it because your state is not doing anything about it. That's the problem. And that, again, points to the importance of understanding self-governance. And so if we really start looking at how we do that, this show, Reclaiming the Republic, is, as I see it, it is your ability to create a ground zero in your county to actually start launching your own Reclaiming the Republic radio show that bridges off of this one, where we build, help you, and then you just boom, and you move forward through this organization. So this is where, you know, we may want to actually start tying in specifically, because if you're going to go down the path of using Reclaiming the Republic, and you want to have a local show doing this, then there are going to be hard parameters, or I should say requirements, that you'll have to maintain, because you can't be making money in doing your show. That's a hard requirement. I don't make money doing this show. I've never had paid sponsors since I've come onto Red State Talk Radio. I actually walked away from paid sponsorship, because I do not want any perception that I am doing this. Because down the road, folks, if you start getting paid, but don't worry about the money, because if you actually get a radio show, that money will actually be piped into, from us, it'll be piped into the cause itself, because whatever you do will help fund what you need to do. The whole point of that is by allowing the energy and the synergy that we develop in bringing people together in the community to be able to use. Because, I mean, how attractive would it be for local advertisers, specifically, very patriotic businesses, the GI surplus folks that, you know, are really patriotic, they'll want to advertise, and local agriculture or what have you will want to advertise on your show, because one, they support the patriotic movement that you're doing, and two, they know that the local people are listening, because everything you're going to be talking about will be local. Where you're petitioning, what you're doing, and this is where you're actually bringing people together in self-governing. How relevant is that for radio? That was the heart and soul of radio. That was the whole intent for local radio, to give you a picture and let you know what was going on in your local world. Everybody listens to radio today, and they just listen to these national DJs and these national talk show hosts. How relevant is that in your life? Anyway, we'll be right back after this promo, and I still have a few more things I want to meander through before I get into G. Edward Griffin's Need to Know News. Some stuff that I go, are you kidding me? Anyway, We will be right back after this promo, so please stay tuned, and we will be back to rant a little bit more. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so one of the things that I, there's a lot of things I've done or that I probably should share with you, but we just don't have time to go through all of that. But here's an observation that I think is paramount to start acknowledging. The last few generations that we've added to our society, and as a matter of fact, we baby boomers as parents and grandparents have really screwed up because we took the ball that the progressives gave us from the counterculture revolution and started running with it. And now we're so far away from the starting point, we can't find the path back. There's way too many people that are in this situation. And many people are wondering, you know, what the heck am I going to do? How can I get my children back? I am seeing good, righteous people who do not know because their parents were baby boomers and their parents didn't really help them. I mean, you know, we actually had a blind faith in the school and education system. And the whole time, while we were going, you know, taking our families to church and letting our kids have, you know, letting the teachers have unvarnished access to our own children's minds, they had programmed our kids to meander much further and further away from the essential teachings that they needed to learn. This is why we have some lost generations today. This is why these studies are coming in and saying, you know, not too many employers are really thrilled with employing millennials and these later generations. Folks, if that is not an indictment about how we have failed, then I don't know what is. But let me share this with you. I got pulled in, and I've been pulled in, and I've wanted to help these folks with the CO2 pipeline. And so, forgive me for that. I had to take a little drink to help water my wet the noodle and wet the lips here. Just keep the words all lubricated. Anyway, I had an opportunity to go into some details on the CO2 pipeline, and I've realized that I know that it seems very myopic, it seems very centralized to the Midwest. You know, everybody's seen some of these people complaining and some of the, you know, some the lawsuits that are coming out and so forth, because there are organizations in Iowa and some of these other states that are being affected by this CO2 pipeline. And these organizations apparently they're stupid enough to think that they're going to get justice in their court. And the only way we're going to start getting justice is by changing out our government, period. That includes our judges. But you can't get rid of judges until you actually get lawmakers who are demanding compliance of the Constitution and are willing to hold judges accountable and impeaching them when they violate the Constitution. So bottom line, as I was looking at the CO2 pipeline, and I was going, what the heck is this? And as we started looking at it, this is a foreign movement in the United States and it's basically taking control, and it is a direct attack on your property rights. And government is creating precedents to say, you really don't have property rights. We tax you on that stuff, but you really don't have property rights. You don't have soil rights. We can do whatever we think necessary. We can take your property for private purposes or for public purposes, and we don't care about what the Constitution says. Folks, when your government is doing that, and you're not holding them accountable, and you're going into this little, I'll just say, this kangaroo court that is absolutely protecting them. As a matter of fact, I had a conversation with a lawyer from the Southern California area that had retired in this very dark red area. And I'm going, why is this person living here? And, this conversation, it just scared me, because these lawyers, they have no idea, how far they've been swimming in this, I'll just say, this weaponized legal system that does not care about rights, that does not care about the essentials of what our legal system is supposed to actually be doing. I mean, they love the fact that your county legislators, your state legislators, and Congress are making more and more and more laws, bureaucratic laws, so that they have something to do. Everybody's a criminal, and this is great. The legal system is thriving. And how backwards is that? That is another indictment. But anyway, the whole point of the CO2 pipeline, and I don't want to take up the rest of the show talking about it, but you folks, you need to look and you need to learn, this is coming to you. Do not think that this is a myopic struggle in the Midwest. I looked at a map that is the projection of all the CO2 pipelines currently that they're planning. And folks, if you understand what they're doing, they're actually planning on doing this far more than what the current plan is. In other words, this is the initial, and their initial plan is every state will have these CO2 pipelines. And it's interesting that where these pipelines are going is where you will find the resistance to be. And the focus, and there's, let's look at this. Why is it that the Midwest is, has this big, this is where they're starting. They're starting there. And as everybody looks and goes, you know what, that's not important. I am telling you, you better get involved, because it's coming to you. It's almost like when the crap happens in California in the education system and you're not doing anything about it, then don't be surprised when it slaps you in the face in your living room, when your kids start repeating the crap that actually started trickling into your classrooms, in your community, and into your kids' heads. So this will affect you, and it is going to affect you, and they've already planned on it affecting you. So we need to look at what to do, and we actually have to start using First Amendment petitions. Again, this all goes back to, if you haven't seen the focus is your local government, your local representation. If they're not the champions for all of your rights and for the Constitution, then you're screwed. And I mean that in the worst way possible. You're as good as dead. Because these guys that don't think, what they're doing is harmful by getting this money and by allowing people to do these things because they have promising careers in the political, their political aspirations are looking very promising. And as a matter of fact, when you start looking at how corruption works, that's exactly how it works. The other thing I wanted to point out, I just kind of leave that there. I will probably try to post this image that I have on my Take Action page so that you can kind of look at where all of the CO2 capturing is. Now, I'm here to tell you, when you really start doing the research, and as a matter of fact, I saw this video of the gases that can come out of this pipeline and the havoc that this can raise at a local level where those gas lines are either blown, sabotaged, or what have you. Is CO2 good for you if all of a sudden the only air you have to breathe is CO2? Let's think about that, folks. Think about it, please. So, the other thing I wanted to talk about is the Supreme Court and our court systems. And this really was driven home. I need to talk about this because I was sitting next to a district attorney, prosecutor, that had, you know, literally made a career out of just allowing, you know, these laws to come down and going after deadbeat dads, going after children child support services, all of these things that we've created laws for where we're actually criminalizing folks. And when you really look at it, we, the people, never gave them those types of controls. And many of these laws have come from the federal government. This is why we need more petitions. We need your help doing this. I can't write all these things. I can't do this show. I can't, you know, have an semblance of a life, you know, in keeping things going, putting food on the table and so forth. And I am giving a lot to you. All I'm asking is you to do your fair share. And I'm not talking about paying taxes. I'm talking about being a citizen and exerting your rights as a citizen. Listen to next Friday's show. But when we look, and when I looked at, you know, the court system, the Supreme Court, how many people have heard, oh, well, the Supreme Court, those guys are, you know, getting it right. They did this really good thing with Roe v. Wade. You know what? They are allowing tyranny, because as I see what has happened out of the Supreme Court lately, just yesterday, it was the 14th, the Supreme Court basically passed on a appeal in a federal court where the nurses were basically being criminalized because they didn't want to take the COVID vaccinations. And so I believe that the federal court has basically sent the signal that we're going to allow mandates. We're going to allow this kind of tyranny because they rejected the overturning of it. Folks, this is not a good sign. As we see in some federal courts, we're getting some good things, but in the others, we're actually getting signaled and hoodwinked. And I don't think there's anything good about what I see out of the court system. It seems to me that our courts and the justices are keeping their thumb on the scale of justice. Just recently, as a matter of fact, I think it was today, just today, the Supreme Court could have overruled and allowed a governor to protect the children from drag shows, and they basically rejected the appeal, where a federal court struck down Ron DeSantis's law that would stop, you know, drag shows in front of children. And the court could have actually said, hey, you can't do that. You know, they do have a right to decency. No government cannot mandate that, you know, they allow these types of things to happen. It's not a mandate. I get that. When, you know, parents willingly, but, you know, we used to have laws that when a parent would expose a child or adult would expose a child to erotic material or anything like that, that was abuse, folks. What the heck's going on? And why did the Supreme Court turn its back on this particular case? That is another sign that I'm not liking it, folks. But I'm here to tell you the court, that based on its design and based on their education, They are driving an agenda, and it's still not an agenda for America nor our Constitution. They have abdicated their responsibility as guardians of our Constitution, period. I can't say it any more plainly than that. So with that, I just happened to also notice in the news that this politically woke and everything else, this is not a good sign. South Korea, as a dog lover, I mean, I love dogs, but South Korea just now banned dog meat. This is a cultural thing. This is how, because they don't have cattle. And as a matter of fact, I don't see a bunch of cattle being shipped to South Korea so that they can have more meat and, you know, actually start having ranches with, you know, cattle and so forth. It's a very mountainous environment anyway. So pigs and fish and so forth. But the reason why dogs was prevalent because meat was a scarce item. So what's going to be the replacement? Is there any plan? Yeah, there's a plan, but the court system, and I think the governing system, they understand they're going to start eating bugs. They're going to start eating fake meat. And today, on the same day, Italy banned fake or lab-created meat. You can only sell real meat, as God intended, meat. Anyway, so there's a lot of crap that's just going on, and we're all worried about this one little thing, and I'm telling you, we need to start backing up and focusing on the bigger picture of demanding full compliance of the Constitution. You demand full compliance of the Constitution on your items and all other items, then your item will be fixed as well as all the other items. You compete with all of these other myopic issues. You're competing with this education issue. You're competing with this other education issue, this healthcare issue, this other healthcare issue. You're competing with this environmental, this right of guns issue. It doesn't matter. We're just competing with ourselves. We're dividing ourselves, saying, no, chase this thing, the real ID stuff, and what is that? Facial recognition. Folks, it is endless. And I am tired of talking to organizational leaders that say, no, this is our number one threat. I'm not saying it's not a threat. I'm not saying it's not an important threat. But to say it is the number one threat to focus and turn your back on the rest of the Constitution, that is evil. That is what Satan wants you to do. We need to back out. We need to basically unify everybody and say, you know what? We're bringing this to the table. We're bringing this to the table. We're bringing this to the table. I want to see petitions coming out of all of these groups. I have solicited, like with the Constitution Alliance, I have asked them to give me a good First Amendment petition pointing out how this facial recognition and all this stuff is a direct violation of our Fourth Amendment rights and all these other constitutional rights. Can't get it. Can't get any Second Amendment entity out there to give me really good petitions on, you know, teaching. And this goes to show you how broad the militia is, really should be in our lives. And these Second Amendment, they don't care about the militia. They don't care about what we really should be doing education wise and training and understanding our rights as gun owners. Not just our rights, but our responsibility to defend and actually execute the laws of the union. So, it's just frustrating to no end and in trying to get people to back out. This is why I need your help. I need you, if you're involved, if you're one of those people, back out. Let's start unifying all on the Constitution. Now, one other little rant before I get into need-to-know news is I can't say this enough. Why is it that the RNC and nobody out there is standing up and saying Nikki Haley and Vivek Ramaswamy are ineligible to even be on the ballot as a presidential candidate. They can't even be in line for the office of the executive, period, because they are not naturally born citizens. Their parents were foreigners. They may have been living in America, but they were not citizens. They were still, what do you want to call that? They were still subjects to foreign jurisdiction. The only way they could have been citizens is if their parents had naturalized. And more specifically, I just want you to understand, the father has to be a citizen, and he has to be, at least at some point in time, a resident of the United States. In other words, living in one of the states. I mean, if you have a child, let's just say a woman is pregnant, and she's an American, and she's a U.S. citizen, and her husband's a U.S. citizen, and you go off and you start working, and you have a child, and that child is born in a foreign nation, and that child is a U.S. citizen, has dual citizenship, and functions just fine, like Canada. And, you know, comes back and forth, but, you know, resides in Canada full time. And as that child grows up, that young man has a child. And his wife is a U.S. citizen, and he's still a U.S. citizen. And technically, they're both dual citizens by, you know, staying in Canada, because Canada is allowing them to work for this big global company that great-grandpa created. And some people tell me this kind of applies with Romney. But anyway, and I've got to look at all of that. But this U.S. citizen or dual citizen, one is a U.S., he's never resided in the United States. And his wife is a U.S. citizen. And they have a child that also becomes a U.S. citizen based on the citizenship of their parents. But they've never lived or resided themselves. His parents never resided as residents. Not that they didn't come and stay for a little while with somebody else. They never got their own residence and established residency. Then that child, even though it is absolutely a natural-born citizen, still is not qualified for the executive, because it's really, technically, by the qualifications of a natural-born citizen. His father was not a natural-born citizen either, even though his father may have, you know, been a citizen that migrated there as a young man, right? Because that, if you look at the, you know, that lineage, the young man may have been moved. He never took his own residency. He may have been, you know, a resident with his parents, but he had never established residency. And there you go. So, I know that's a far-fetched scenario, but bottom line, it is very clear that that's not even the situation here. The situation here is both of these candidates' parents were foreigners when they were born. They naturalized, so they're not a natural born. There are naturalized citizens. Naturalized citizens cannot be the president. The Constitution does not allow it. It's very, very clear. So, with that, let me get into some need-to-know news with the 4.5 minutes that I have left. So, one of the things that just popped up, actually, this didn't pop up. This is kind of a couple weeks old, but it's worth repeating. This came from Need-to-Know News, J. Edward Griffin's website. Islam on the move in Sweden. Swedish Prime Minister Ulf Kristersson summoned the head of the armed forces to curb a surge in gang killings after a bloody 12 hours that saw two men shot dead in Stockholm and a 24-year-old woman killed in a blast at her home. Mr. Kristersson said Sweden had not seen anything like it before and that, quote, no other country in Europe, close quote, was experiencing this kind of situation. Sweden has opened its borders to mass immigration for years. They've always been pacifists. and which is the root cause, and that I'm adding, they've always been pacifists as well, which is the root cause of the conflict and violence in their country. Because they've never defended themselves within their country. Because they didn't think, you know, because they thought that everybody was going to be pacifist. Now they let these non-pacifists in, and they go, how come you're not pacifist? Police have linked the violence to poor immigration, the poor integration of immigrants and widening gap between the rich and the poor and drug use. But I will tell you, it's far greater than that. My analysis is the cultures of Islam and the Christian culture of Sweden and their passivity is not a good mix. It's oil and water. And they are about to be ruled by a very dominant culture, a culture that does not recognize liberty, a culture that only operates in subjugation or death. So, isn't that interesting? Anyway, in Pennsylvania, this is kind of new and current on the website. This has to do with the election, the recent election in Pennsylvania. Audit the Vote, an organization in PA, Audit the Vote PA, posted a video recently that shows 386,151 in-person votes were removed from Pennsylvania's Republican Supreme Court candidate, Carolyn Carluccio, anyway, on election night. At 4:96 p.m., Carolyn Carlucci had 763,873 votes in the statewide race, but the tally showed only 300,722 votes for her. She lost to the Democrat candidate by 207,000 votes plus. Abortion and mail-in ballots were hot-button issues in the Pennsylvania Supreme Court election. There is no explanation for this mysterious drop of vote totals for the Republican. These glitches, quote-unquote, favor Democrats every time. It is impossible to lose votes in an honest election. And I can tell you that the state of Washington, back in the early 2000s, with Dino Rossi, when he was running for governor, he won that election in the first counting. And every subsequent counting, he lost his lead. He ended up until the Democrats counted to get the outcome that they want. And then everybody just... And all of the good people who voted allowed it to happen. In other words, oh, well, okay, they found all of these ballots in a trunk. We got to add those. Oh, well, okay, they did that. As far as I'm concerned, people need to start going to jail for mishandling ballots. People need to start going to jail for a long time if there's any improprieties with ballots counting and everything else. You know, we need people. We need to have TPI, two-person integrity. We need to have and make sure that they're not two people, you know, that are Democrats. We need to make sure that we actually have people that we trust. We actually need to start identifying who we really do trust so that they can actually be the witnesses of making sure that all of that. And we got to get this out of the mail system. We've got to go back to personal voting at your precinct level and take back this country that way. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.